Church, if they would like to head out, they can go now. Downstairs with Mallory and Tammy. Okay. All right. Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Before I begin, I would like to say a couple things. That if you're a first-time guest, thank you for being here. Thank you for coming to Center Hill Baptist Church and being a part of the family today. Our goal here at Center Hill Baptist Church is make everybody family when they first walk in the door. That happened to me, and I became a member. So, I hope you guys were blessed today like I'm blessed every Sunday I walk in here. This message has taught me a lot about my destination, where I'm going in the long run. And it has taught me that I'm still human, that I make mistakes. But guess what? It's okay, because I have a Heavenly Father, and every time I make a mistake, He picks me up and carries me back to the starting line. To what? To finish the race. That's what Paul says. But before I go in, I want to open us up in prayer, and we'll get started, okay? Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for just, again, allowing me to have an opportunity here and to continue to have an opportunity. God, thank you for this church. Thank you for the impact that this church has on my life, that you, through other people, have impacted my life here. Thank you for the influence around me, the positive influence in my life that I'm thankful and grateful for here at Center Hill. Bless this message. Help us to understand what you're going to teach us and what you taught me, God. Help me to give them the words so they can see it all plain as day. And it will resonate in their hearts. And they, when they leave here, God, that they feel full. And they'll fall from their cup being empty. So, God, we thank you in advance for filling our cups up. Help us to really understand what you're trying to get us to teach us this week or today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so today I'm going to talk about two roads, okay? In the Bible, one's called the wide road, and the other one is called the narrow road. And my goal through this time, praying, is to get you guys to think of the road that you're on. I believe that every person starts in that middle line on the screen. You see that white line in the middle of the picture? Everybody starts on that line. And life, it's called choices. So every day we have to pick, are we going the wide road or the narrow road? But I believe everybody starts in the middle. I started in the middle. So my goal for this message is to teach you guys basically what each road is, what is the benefit of this road versus this road. That's how it taught me, that's how I understand, is to see the benefit of each road. Okay, but there's really one road that benefits you long term. So I'll explain which road that is. So I want you guys to think about every step you take in life. I want you to walk with me here and think of every step, every career choice, every decision, every direction you walk in life. Today I want to talk about the two roads. Everybody comes to a crossroad. So if you have your Bibles, if you could turn to Matthew 7, 13 through 14 is what we're going to go to. And once you guys keep going and get there, I'm going to keep going. But with this road, both roads have challenges. Life is not easy. Every road we pick, every direction we go in life has challenges. And I want to explain to you that it's a hard decision to make. But I'm going to urge you guys at the end to make one decision for the right road, okay? So, Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Let me get my clicker going over here. Okay. That's the King James Version. I'm going to read from the New Living on my iPad, okay? But I got it on the screen. So if you don't have your Bible, you can look on the screen. Verse 13, enter through the narrow gate. For narrow gate. Okay, yeah, my bad. For the wide is the gate. Wide is the gate. Come on, clicker. Okay, wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction. So this is, I'm talking about the wide road here. This road already we find in Matthew, he's saying that this road, when you enter on this road, everybody's on this road. There's a lot of people on this road, and everybody wants to enter this road. And I'm going to explain why. Why is that? This road is really, really easy. There's a lot of people on this road. A lot of people. You can get distracted. So what? There's on this road, this world calls us, this is the wide road, is the world's telling us road, okay? This is the world code, okay? So on this road, we see that it causes instant gratification. That's a big word. For example, we want everything now. When you send a text, you want the response back now. When you get the Chick-fil-A and go through the drive-thru, you want that food under 20 minutes, right? You want it fast. That's why it's called fast food. Everybody on this road wants to find a big career job or be famous in social media or popularity. But this road also represents no accountability. You're on your own, but there's a lot of people around you. And it's easy for you to follow in the crowd on this road, okay? So, another passage I want you guys to turn to. I'm sorry, but today we're going to be going a little bit through different books. So turn with me in your Bible, 1 John chapter 2, 15 through 17. This is going to help us out a lot. So I'm going to read it once y'all get there. Do not love this world nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but they're from the world. So what does this tell us? That it literally says that we are craving for what? Lust, a lot of things, pride. We're craving for possessions. I'm not saying having nice stuff is a wrong thing, but it's the heart posture that we got to keep in check. That's a little tip off the iceberg. Is like the heart posture matters. And what we see in this passage is like it's a lot of pride. It's a lot of boasting about our accomplishments and about everything we have to offer. But this world wants us to make an identity not in Christ, but in our own power. So this road has it all about me. And not about serving other people. So this passage warns us, do not love the world or anything in it. So that goes up to this. Be in the world, but not of it. That's what Scripture says. We have to be able to live in this world and represent Christ to the best of our abilities. Does that make sense? All right, everybody still with me? All right. So I'm going to give a personal example of when I chose the wide road. Because how I learned is by example. And if I learned by a negative example, that teaches me not to go that way. And everybody has negative examples. But when you see the negative, you kind of like don't want to do that ever again, right? So for me, I chased this road when I thought success would satisfy me. A big fancy job, Ruth Carter, or something that I don't even apply for, or my resume doesn't even back up. And I thought, you know, that would be great. But what I learned in walking, because I'm on the narrow road already, but walking, I could see the difference of the roads. This road promises a lot. The wide road promises so much, but it gives nothing to you. This road doesn't benefit you in the long run. It's all about our destination. And that's where I'm going to next. So we're going to talk about the narrow road, okay? So if you don't mind, turn to your Bibles to John 14:6. By the way, this verse is one of the most powerful verses in the Bible. You learned, you could preach a message on just this one verse. You could probably preach a month straight, but I'm just going to go over it and break it down. Ready? Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Wow, what a powerful verse. Just let that sink in. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Wow. So the only way to get on the narrow road is by what I see in this passage is Jesus is the way. So how do we know? How do we get to that point? It's by accepting Jesus in your heart. To get on the narrow road. Your actions might say, or being nice to people might say, you're on the narrow road, but are you locked in for eternity on the narrow road? So think about it. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So your life starts with Jesus and ends with Jesus. That's what we're seeing. Because at the end of the day, you can get to the Father by allowing Jesus to be your way, or allowing Jesus to be in your heart. Does that make sense? So how does this retain to the narrow road? We see that this road is not instant. It's a slow development. This road contains faith, trust, and daily surrender. It's yes, God, yes, God, yes, God. Whatever you have for me, God, yes. You want me to move to Nigeria? Yes, God. You want me to be on mission for you, God, in this small county in Monroe? Yes, God. It's the yes that matters. So my last verse I want you guys to pull up with me is Romans 12:2. If you can get there in your Bibles, but if not, it's on the screen. Romans 12:2 tells us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds. What does that mean? Well, I'll tell you. James chapter 3, verse 1 through 16, talks about the power of the mouth, or the power of the tongue. This passage convicted me wholeheartedly is this, that if you want to know, if you're a Christian and you want to know what type of fruit you have and see if you're bearing any fruit, look at your mouth. What James teaches us in that passage is that, hey, how do I know if I'm saved? It's by the way you talk reflects your heart. So when we see renewing of your mind, if you want to make sure your mind, which is your heart, because your mind is connected with your heart, the mouth is a vital key to see where you're at with your relationship with Christ. That's the only way. If you want to see how to grow, just watch the things you say. Like, literally, in heaven, we'll take account for everything we say. Every careless word, that gets me a lot. Sometimes I feel like my mouth just be running, and I'm not going to lie. And that's a problem. But we're going to take accountability for these things we say. So if you want to check to see how you're doing with your walk with Christ, check your mouth. That helps me. So this road is a journey filled with valleys, challenges, and a slower pace. Does that make sense? And yet, we walk it, but you're not alone. The difference between this road and the wide road, there's a lot of people on it, but you got one person on this road that can move mountains for you and do miracles around you. Like, example in my life, I got blessed to get diabetes last year. And what that changed my mindset to, man, I got to hit the weight room. Apparently, eating Chick-fil-A every day is not healthy. So, anyways, but where's the blessing? I got blessed to challenge my mind to say, Gabe, what I'm putting into my body matters. And what God taught me there, rely on me. I got you. Don't worry about it. And how do I get that privilege? Because I got invited to the narrow road where it's one person who will protect me and guide me through the storms. So to keep going here, in Galatians, you don't have to turn there. Galatians 5:22-23 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. But I want to bring up a couple things. Love, joy, and peace. These things are not instant. These things grow over time. It's a slow pace. How do I love somebody when they don't see the same thing I see in this scenario? How do I have joy when I lost a family member in Christmas time? How do I have peace in a storm? Well, I'm going to talk about a storm in a minute. But how? All these things are slow growth process. They're not instant, excuse me. They're not instant where you just get it all at one time. Because at that point, why would we trust God? If we could just get everything at the dollar store, get our relationship advice, get prayer life, get Jesus right there at the Dollar General, what's the point? We don't need that. These things on the narrow road is a slow pace. So they take time. I'm going to give an example. Again, the diabetes, I trusted God to get me through it, and I'm still here. Yes, it was a long road. Yes, it was a lot of weird medications. Yes, it was a lot of stuff. But yet, through every uncertain step, Jesus was still there. God was still there. He was faithful to me, and I could tell you, I'm living proof he's faithful to y'all now. Okay? So, the danger of instant gratification. One thing we must recognize is how we crave instant, right? Instant stuff, instant gratification. In a world that is filled with fast, instant things, instant likes, instant fame, overnight fame. Some people get famous overnight. But anyways, we are all drawn to one thing, human nature, quick fixes. How do I fix this? What do I need to do to fix this quick? How do I get rid of my diabetes, get a workout plan? Never went. How do I fix this? How do I fix my marriage? How do I fix my relationship with my girlfriend or boyfriend? Whatever. We're all drawn to the quick fix. But you don't have to turn here, but 1 Timothy 6:9-10 says, those, basically the overlook of this verse, the rough draft of it is this. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation. Time out. I'm not saying being rich is a bad thing. I'm not saying having nice vehicles is a bad thing or anything like that. Fill in the blank. You fill it in. But it can lead us down destruction faster than we can think. So I know, for example, I know tons of athletes. I got blessed to go to a flag football camp and for Georgia Tech, and I led a running back to the Lord at Georgia Tech. Anyways, long story short with that story, he was asking me, what's so different about me? And I said, well, I'm a believer in Christ, yada, yada, yada. And I gave him my testimony. And he was like, awesome, awesome. He said, I'm about to have everything at the hand of my fingertips going to the NFL draft. And I was like, okay. And he said, but I still feel empty. Why is that? Because they have not taken a journey on the narrow road. They do not know the struggles on the narrow road. They haven't tried that. So he accepted Jesus into his heart, and that was a great thing to see. But again, instant gain can lead us down the wrong path. I know, because I thought taking shortcuts would bring happiness and peace and joy, but really, I messed up. The joy and all of that will come over time. Because what I learned in this message is that it's a slow growth time. It's slow. So a personal example, and then we'll keep moving here, is I want to share something from my own life when I was offered a quick career opportunity. I was offered to go do demo stuff, and there was no real gratification. There was nothing that would offer me that would accidentally put me back on the wide road, because, again, on the wide road, there's no accountability. There's no companionship. It's just you with a bunch of people on a road going who knows where. So basically what I figured out by trusting God, by looking to Jesus, I found peace and purpose again and deeper joy that I couldn't even imagine. So because I said no to that nice job opportunity, I now continue to walk with Christ and expecting him to follow through in what he's telling me. So, a couple questions here. Why? I just want to make sure we're all on the same team or on the same page. Why is the wide road so easy? Instant gratification. All right, no delays. No real accountability. No one stands up for what's right, and no one asks the hard question. That's the biggest difference from the roads. For example, nobody asks the hard question. Nobody wants to stand up for what's right. When we see, if you're on the, you could look at the news, for example, and you can see a total difference of who's on what side. But you could see that nobody stands up for what's right and asks the hard questions because they're scared to get rebuked, or they're scared to somebody try to take them out or whatever. But, and my thing is this, if you're on that road, there's no accountability. So nobody keeps you accountable, no companionship. But if you're on the narrow road, whew, there's so much more you can do. And your life has a value that nobody can take, worth more than money. Everyone else is on that road. It feels normal. That's why a lot of people pick that road, because there's so many people on it and it feels completely normal. It promises quick success, but never true fulfillment. That's again, why don't I have it? I have everything at my fingertips, but I just don't feel filled up. There's something missing. And exactly, no true fulfillment on that road. Okay? All right, that's kind of small, but I got you. All right. So, on the narrow road, it's slow growth, but produces fruit that won't fade. The one thing about Jesus, the narrow road, is you, when you go in to work out, you always stay big. That fruit always gets bigger. It doesn't just fade away over time. As long as you put in the work. Requires daily surrender, no shortcuts. That means you can't start at the finish line and skip the race to finish. It's you start in one point and you walk and you walk. You keep walking. You go through a hurricane. You keep walking. You go up a big hill. You keep walking. It's requires no shortcuts, daily surrender. God calls us to trust him, even when we don't see it, or even when we don't see the instant results, okay? It's faith without knowing the outcome. It's faith by sight. You can't do that. It's trusting. It's just say, hey, I know you're going to step here, but I'm going to keep walking with you. This road produces deeper peace, joy, and purpose. Okay, so to kind of sum this up for us, I wanted to give us two biblical examples for each road, okay? Because you got a lot of my examples out here, and you have examples in your life, but I want to go to the Bible for this closing little statement here. As for the right road, biblical example is this. The young rich ruler. You can find it in Mark 10, 17 through 23, or 22. I'm not going to read it, because that's a long passage, but I'm going to break it down. The young man wanted eternal life, but he couldn't give up his wealth. So he stayed on the wide road, choosing comfort over sacrifice. In order for you to get to the narrow road, it requires what? Sacrifices in your life. To me, it required sacrifices. When I got saved, it was sacrificing my plans to follow God. I stepped out in the boat. For a narrow road example is Abraham's faith. You can find it in Genesis 12, 1 through 4. God called Abraham to leave his home and walk by faith. It wasn't instant, but at the end, his road was narrow that led to God's promises. So, one closing little thing I have, and then I'll be done. I want to tell you about a story in the Bible that kind of gives us the picture of the roads perfectly. I want to talk about Peter. So with Peter, there was a storm. He was in the boat with the disciples, okay? And this is the point where Jesus says, you know what? Tells the storm, he rebukes it. He says, peace be still. And Jesus starts walking on water to get to the disciples. This is my favorite story, by the way. So Peter's like sitting there, and everybody thinks Jesus is a ghost, but Peter's like, Jesus, is that you? First, he questions it, which I would have done the same thing. And Jesus's like, yeah, I'm here. I'm out here. And he's like, okay. Peter's like, tell me to come. Walked on the water. One step. First, one note. When God calls you into something, especially when it comes to your eternity, the first step is the hardest step. Can we all agree that the first step is what? And the way that you want to move in your heart is the first step, you got to admit there's a problem. You got to say, I need help. Because if without saying that, there's no way you can get the help. But back to the story, and I'll close with this, the story. So Peter starts walking on water. Great. Good for him. But what happens to Peter? He's first looking at Jesus like, man, I'm doing it. But then what happens? Uh-oh. He takes his eyes off Jesus. He looks around. He looks down. He probably sees a big fish. I don't know. I'm not Peter. But he looks around, and he slowly starts to sink. So what we see in that story is this, that when you have your eyes on Jesus on the narrow road, you are focused, you're not distracted. But to me, Peter looked around and started to sink. That represents the wide road, because guess what? Everybody's looking around. Everybody's looking at somebody else to make a decision. There's no accountability. There's nobody, nothing to fix your eyes on. There are no goals in life when you're on the wide road. So that is the picture of what we need to do if you're on the narrow road, is by looking at Jesus and looking straight at him and block everything out and just focus on Him. So we're going to go in this time for, if you guys would like to stand, we're going to close. But as y'all stand, we're going to go in this time of invitation. And what this is, if you're new, if you're first time guest here, what this is we'll come up to the altar right here. And this is a time where you guys do business with God. This is your personal time. I can't physically pick you up and carry you to the narrow road. I would, but I can't. It's not possible. I am not Jesus. I am not God, so I can't do that. But the only way that you truly get to the narrow road is by admitting that you're a sinner and admit that you have a problem and you need help. And you need Jesus is the answer to your problem. It's not some drug you can get at the store. It is not some membership you can get at the gym. It's Jesus or nothing. So I hope that you pick that choice. And if you're already on the road, okay, some of you might be here already walking with Christ on the narrow road. Know one thing, that you're not alone on this road, that Jesus is with you. You have somebody who can move a mountain. You got somebody who can protect you through a storm. You got somebody who will really, literally walk on water for you and tell you to come on the water with Him. If that's you, I encourage you, fix your eyes on Jesus. All these things, all the possessions we have here are going to fade away in fire. What we need to start doing as a church and as a unit is store up our treasures in heaven. And by the only way we do that is by serving Jesus and serving others and being the hands and feet of Jesus. So we're going to go in this invitation time. Come up here and do business with God. You don't have to. You can do it in your seat. But I just urge you to make the switch to the narrow road. And if you need somebody to pray with, I can help you. And if you need somebody else, Danny can help you up here if I get overrun or something. But anyways, so I'm going to pray us into this time, and then they're going to sing a couple verses. Heavenly Father, once again, thank you. Thank you for allowing me this opportunity. Thank you for just presenting us two options, the narrow road or the wide road. There is no middle line. And I thank you for that, God. I thought that before I met you, I would be able to just coast my way on the middle line and just end up where I want to end up on the long run. But thank you for securing me in your arms. Thank you for writing Gabe Autry in the book of life. God, we thank you for that. I praise you for that. And thank you for running after me, even though sometimes I run from you, but I turn around, you're right there. Help us to just fix our eyes on you this week, and help us to go in this time where we just do business with you. In Jesus' name, amen.